FirstAmendment.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality edition. We may talk about prophecy in the second hour, so get your comments, questions, whatever you've been wondering about together. To put in the chat room or give me a call on the air. And as usual, I guess we're going to expect a call from our ghost caller who waits for my broadcast every week and then calls in. So at least I have one fan out there. And let me check the chat room out. And let's see, chat room over here. And we got a few people in there. So thank you for the few people that showed up. I think I did everything right today. The producer is on the ball, as they would say. Yeah. And pictures are working good and everything. We have, if you go over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net.com, you'll click on the chat room button there. And in the right-hand column, there's a little screen so you can watch a little picture of my face in the studio because the studio cam is on. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about what's in the news, and I put a Breitbart article in there in the chat room today, so I was going to talk a little bit about that. Let me bring up that article. Here it is. Texas, the state of Texas, has filed a lawsuit directly with the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, this is even on the news that we have here. I'm not sure how this is going over on the mainstream news. I did a little Google search here, and here's how, here's how The Guardian states it. Long shot lawsuit against Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin is latest legal effort intended to reverse Biden's victory. So that's how the mainstream media is going to mention it and then forget about it because they're moving on with Biden. And it's all about Biden and who he's picking for this and that and the other thing. Well, maybe I ought to share this one with you. I think we can do that. I have here a little clip from President Trump's Operation Warp Speed. what you call it? Warp Speed Vaccine Summit. And you know what I did? During most of this, while I was listening to Trump speak at the summit, was I booed. Boo! I don't want, we need something else, warp speed. Like, we need our liberties restored, warp speed. We need the country to go back to the Constitution, warp speed. But at the very end of it, which I did not endure, so I had to come back later and find this, upon being notified of it by other people, because I got about 10 minutes into his warp speed thing, and I can't take it, man. Anyway, I'll share this with you. Let me turn on the desktop audio here and put this on here for you so you can see. You could find this to yourself if you wanted to. Okay.
To see who the next administration is, because we won in the swing states, and there was terrible things that went on. So we're going to have to see who the next administration is. But whichever the next administration is, will really benefit by what we've been able to do with this.
Anyway, we'll stop that nonsense right now. Anyway, he seems fairly confident that Joe Biden is not going to be the next administration. And if we go through this lawsuit here, Texas argues that these states violated the Elector's Clause of the Constitution because they made changes to voting rules and procedures through the courts or through executive actions, but not through the state legislatures. Additionally, Texas argues that there were differences in voting rules and procedures in different counties within the states, violating the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. Finally, Texas argues that there were voting irregularities in these states as a result of the above. Texas is asking the Supreme Court to order the states to allow their legislatures to appoint their electors. The lawsuit says, certain officials in the defendant states presented the pandemic as the justification for ignoring state laws regarding absentee and mail-in voting. The defendant states flooded their citizenry with tens of millions of ballot applications and ballots in derogation of statutory controls as to how they are to be lawfully received, evaluated, and counted. Whether well-intentioned or not, these unconstitutional acts had the same uniform effect. They made the 2020 election less secure in the defendant states. Those changes are inconsistent with relevant state laws and were made by non-legislative entities without any consent by the state legislatures. The acts of these officials thus directly violated the Constitution. This case presents a question of law. Okay, it presents a question of law. And I can see that's not all on the screen there. Okay, there it is. Did the defendant states violate the Elector's Clause by taking non-legislative actions to change the election rules that would govern the appointment of presidential electors? These non-legislative changes to the defendant state's election laws facilitated the casting and counting of ballots in violation of state law, which in turn violated the Elector's Clause of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. By these unlawful acts, the defendant states have not only tainted the integrity of their own citizens' vote, but their actions have also debased the votes of the citizens in plaintiff state and other states that remain loyal to the Constitution. Okay. Texas approached the Supreme Court directly because Article 3 provides that it is the court of first impression on subjects where it has original jurisdiction, such as disputes between two or more states. And if you go to that Breitbart article, I put it in the link in the chat room. They've got the documents. Link to the documents if you want to read their motion. And of course, there was a hearing on this yesterday, I suppose. That's what the Supreme Court, the docket for yesterday said, that they heard this docketed Texas versus Pennsylvania. This is supremecourt.gov. And they heard yesterday. We're supposed to get a response, but that hasn't been posted as yet of this morning. So perhaps we'll get a decision today. It seems like they're moving warp speed on this, and so we need This is where we need warp speed. is from this. But anyway, you can check all that out online, and let me put a link back in the chat room, and when I post this, I'll make sure that the link is posted to the article with the video for those that are watching it later on. Let's see, copy that and post it in the chat room again, because I see it's gone. Paste. Okay, so there's the link again for those of you who missed it. Dale says, I agree with them, but I don't think it matters who gets in. Well, I think I think it does matter who gets in. Yeah. Between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I think it matters a great deal, at least for the speed at which the Antichrist, and this would be a great setback for the Antichrist, because, you know, he has a lot of control in this country, and there's a lot of pushback against him coming from Trump and the few constitutional loyalists in his administration, and others, very few, in the military and the government. There are a few in there, you know, and I'm going to go back to this country is about split 50-50 of those that love the truth, or at least pay homage to the truth, and those that want to overthrow the country for communism. Al or AI in the chat room says, is that an Al or an AI? I can't tell. Biden is a CCP puppet. Yeah, and Dale says again, it's all dog and pony show. Well, I to a point agree with you there, Dale, in the chat room, because I haven't voted for years, and because I did not believe that, I believe that the Antichrist had already taken control of the vote, but now we've got another player, of course, one that's under total control of the Antichrist, pretty much, and has a form of government that the Antichrist loves. That's communism, total totalitarian control of everything. That's the CCP. I'm hoping we'll see today. We'll see. Nothing's come out yet. We'll see whether they're going to take it. But this is the case. You know, they made no comments when they refused to hear the Pennsylvania case, because they have to choose the right case if they're going to hear this thing and get this thing settled out. Is the Republic going to survive? You know, is the American Republic going to survive such as it is, or such as it has been? And I believe that if they choose that the Republic will survive, we might have some kind of revival of a Republican form of government, but it may bring a whole lot of other problems with it, because I don't think the left and the communists are going to be very happy with it, especially those that want these guys over here that you see right there, those guys. Yeah, they want them in charge, and their ilk, all of these Antichrist totalitarian dictators from past ages, and very recently, some of them. But those are the guys that the Antichrist loves, and he hates America. He hates he and his shadow government and their multitudes. They hate our form of government. They hate liberty. They want you under total totalitarian control. That's why they exercise inquisitions in the past. And if you didn't agree with them, well, they would make you recant your disagreement with them, or kill you or whatever, and burn you at the stake or chop off your head or whatever they had the power to do in there during the Antichrist 1260-year overt reign. So there you have that. So I pretty much think that what will happen here if they hear this case, which is the only one so far that has standing. All of the other ones are jurisdiction issues, standing issues. And I think, I'm hopeful anyway, that we have some people on the Supreme Court, enough people on the Supreme Court that are constitutionalists and originalists in the Constitution. And if they are, I think they have to realize that the Republic is over if they let this obvious, see, it was never obvious until now. They underestimated the people and who they would vote for in 2016. That's why Hillary Clinton, they've never got over it. In the last 4 years, they've done everything they can, along with the previous president, Obama, all of these traitors. That's what they are. They're insurrectionists and traitors. So what happens if they decide that the election was false? They have two choices. You know, one, to hold new elections, or to call it for Obama. Which one was going to be harder on the country? New elections. Yeah, and I agree with you. God did warn Israel. He didn't warn us because we're not Israel, but he did warn about them wanting a king, and because he was their sovereign. That was his nation that he set up as himself sovereign over it. So there's something to be learned there, but it's not really applicable. But yeah, we should not want a king, any king but King Jesus, as God's people. He is our king. The president is definitely not king. If anything, the last 4 years have proved that the president of the United States is not a sovereign, totalitarian dictatorship, you know, because he's had to fight for 4 years at every turn. Now, I'm not happy with his warp speed and him spending billions of dollars on vaccines, but he does, as long as he holds out therapeutics as a choice, and they don't want to come after me with a needle and hold me down and pump me full of poison or some experimental vaccine, I'm fine with it. You know, it's like the mask. I'm fine with it if you want to wear one, but don't expect me to wear one. I went to the store this week. I didn't even think of putting a mask on. I didn't even take a mask with me. Yeah, you know. It's not something that I usually carry around. I do have some. I've always had some masks there, you know, in case I need one for something, for some work I'm doing or something. I've even got I have an N95 mask, but that doesn't, you know, you can wear that's crazy, you know, N95 mask is, it allows you to breathe out freely because it has a valve on it. So if you breathe out, you breathe out freely. Your exhalation goes out without filtering. But when you inhale, the valve shuts and you breathe through the filters, right? So the mask is just, it's a game. They're just playing. And if Joe Biden gets in, he's going to mandate masks for everyone. Of course, our governor here in California, he mandated masks for everyone. And he's doing it. Another shutdown, but nobody's paying attention to him. You know, nobody at all. They're following his lead rather than his rules. Yeah, because everybody saw him on TV not wearing a mask right after he passes the mask mandate, and he goes out and has to a restaurant and has dinner with a bunch of people, and not one person there is wearing a mask. Oh, yeah, we can follow that lead. And everybody that I know, all the churches are supposed to be closed and not singing. And the only one that's closed is has been the Catholic church across the street. I think they're doing drive-through wafers now. Yeah. You know, the bloodless sacrifice. Yeah. I think they're doing that in a drive-through thing now. But they've been closed since March. But even some of those rebellious Catholics are filing lawsuits and not paying attention. Yeah, we have a lot of rebellious Catholics in America. And, you know, the Antichrist doesn't like that either. I mean, if we had a rebellious Catholic for president, they'd probably shoot him. Oh, wait a minute. I think they did that already, didn't they? Yeah, they did that already. Because we had one Catholic president, and Joe Biden is not him. Joe Biden is... not even a Catholic in good standing, let alone having any faith whatsoever. Let's roll the dice here. Your name and where you're calling from? Yes, we rolled the dice, and our phantom ghost caller has called in again. Okay, so thank you for that. Thank you for coming and watching my show again and for calling in. We do appreciate that. We are still praying for you. Okay. Yes, may the Almighty open your eyes. May He break your heart and your soul and into obedience to Him and His call for you to repent. Yeah, there we go. Now deal with it, right? Okay, what else do we have? Yes. So there's that. So we'll see what happens. Either a new election. I think that may be what they call for, is a new election. They might put, like, delay everything 90 days, call out the National Guard to run the elections or something in each state that they order to redo. They may just redo some of the states, or they may redo all national or federal elections, because I don't know if they can have them redo state elections, but they can have them redo all the federal elections. So all of the federal offices, that would be the Senate, Congress, and the presidency, of course. So, and that would probably be the less, and then forget about everything else. But if they go the route of installing, but how do they let people get away with it? There's going to have to be some prosecutions, and maybe even some arrests for treason and insurrection. And I think there should be. I mean, you know, these people have absolutely committed, like the Bidens, of course, and they're being in bed with China, and even the governor and the Secretary of State of Georgia. Yeah, there are people in the highest places in bed with the CCP. Yeah. Now, we can't go after China, because China's just doing what every country does, try to influence. You know, I mean, unless they invade us, it's an invasion of a sort, but I don't think we're going to go to war with China over this. Because Trump believes in America first, and China wants to be first in America, you know. Yeah, I liked where Trump was at with the UN, or wherever he was at, one of these places where they have the meetings of the leaders of different countries. He says he was expressing to the other countries that every one of them should put their country first, just as he puts America first. Okay, and so I believe that's a good way to go. Supreme Court ruled against closing churches nationwide, I think. I don't know what that has to do. I guess that's a good thing. I don't know about that one. Can't 90 days. Constitution says inauguration on January 21st. Well, yeah, it is the 21st of this month, but the Supreme Court could delay it. Yeah, I mean, it is a constitutional question being brought under by parties that have standing, and the Supreme Court has jurisdiction, and with their jurisdiction, they could whatever it takes. So I don't know what you mean by can't 90 days. Can they do it in 90 days? Well, I think that would be hard to do, but I think it would be doable to. I mean, they're doing other runoffs in 90 days, runoff elections in 90 days. So I think America's up to the challenge. 60 days might be a stretch, but 90 days, I think, is a doable thing. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Yes, I have to admit, I did a bit part in a Star Trek episode many, many years ago. Guy looks just like me. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that, AI in the chat room. Is that AI or AL? I can't tell. It's either a small case L or a uppercase I. They look the same in the chat room. And yeah. But anyway, yeah, still getting revenue from that episode today. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's all the pay I get. It's the revenue I did from that one little episode in Star Trek many, many, many years ago. Your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. I don't know why this guy wants to be on the air when he doesn't have anything to say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit, the guy is there's a facial resemblance to me with that guy from that episode. I'll admit that. Yeah, could have been my twin brother, maybe my doppelganger. Huh? I'm a lot older than that now. Yeah, and I doubt if I looked like that then in the '60s, because I was only 15 years old. So that really wasn't me. It was somebody else. There you go. Okay. What else do we have to talk about today? How many of you are excited about getting your vaccine? You know, finally, we can get back to normal. All we got to do is go down and get the poke or the jab or whatever you want to call it. And then you can go back to normal. Oh, wait a minute. You can get back to normal, but you have to return several months later and get another poke or jab, because, you know, they want to do two. And I was looking at, there is something I was looking at, and I wanted everyone to put this on the Facebook, on my Facebook page, but I'll give you the link to it, too. I have it here in my mailbox. But this is to the Act, 1986, the Act. I have a link here to it somewhere. And there it is. Oh, there it is right there. And I'll put that in the chat room. And I'll also post it below this video later on when we get there. Whoops. There we go. This is the Act. And so you can watch the first two chapters of the Act for free. But having to do with vaccines. And if you watch this and you still want to be vaccinated, you need to have your head examined. or you believe that the truth is a lie because you only believe what CNN and The Guardian say is the truth, or Joe Biden and whoever else. And, you worship Fauci as your God and the President of the United States. Like, I'll tell you who's really hard is David Knight, who we air in the afternoon. Very, very hard on, sometimes I think he's too hard on him, but honestly and truthful about it, on Donald Trump. So, Dale, I think you would really like David Knight in the afternoon. And I play him because, I think he's a brother in Christ, even though he is on a network that the owner of which is questionable. Well, more than questionable. There's no question about it. So, but we won't get into that. I'll leave that for someone else. So anyway, hope you're listening to David Knight in the afternoon when we re-air his broadcast. Let's see. Vaccine is another way of controlling us, obviously. Controlling us. Well, it's, you know, like I say, I always say, or I don't always say, or I have said, and I mentioned to a few other people that it's Bill Gates' wet dream, you know, because he is the eugenicist and he's taken on vaccines for this very purpose. And he said it out loud in a TED Talks. Yeah, he thought it was pretty cool. So did, I guess everyone listening thought it was a pretty cool idea to use vaccines to eliminate people and reduce population. So that's what they're doing, I believe. And if you go back, if you watch the first two chapters of this, this video that I just put the link in the chat room, that is, or you can look it up if you're just listening, it's 1986, The Act. And I think it's at 1986theact.com. There's a link to the where you can watch the two chapters, the first two chapters free. But you watch it and you go, man, there is no way. You know, it goes back to the beginning. I believe that I got vaccinated like maybe twice as a child in the 1950s. Yeah, that was after they had the big polio outbreak from the vaccines itself, which were pre-50s. And so they obviously corrected that by the time I was getting any vaccines in the late 50s, maybe early 60s. But I haven't had anything. I haven't even seen a doctor since I was that would have been probably since I was a young teenager. Yeah, I haven't seen a doctor since then, of course. And then I was examined because I became a ward of the state when my father died. So I went to a doctor to get examined. I don't remember getting any vaccines there. I only remember getting them when I was in the late 50s, when I was in grade school, because they were vaccinating all of the children. But now, just the number, and you watch these two chapters on the vax thing, or if you pay to watch the whole thing, or if you can find a place, maybe buy it and have a watch party with your friends or something, or maybe we should do that here or something. I wonder if they have this on Amazon, where you could have a watch party. I'll have to look it up on Amazon, see if it's with your Prime membership on Amazon. See, yes, I do have a Amazon Prime membership. Yeah, so a lot of things I can't get anywhere else, even locally. I always look locally if I need something first, because if I can get it locally, I want to. But some things I can't even find locally, because and there are other things coming up having to do with the whole pandemic, people buying on the internet thing, the amount of money these guys are making. I remember back in the 1970s, for those of you 70s, 80s, for those of you around, they had this windfall profits tax that they put on the oil companies because the price of they were making profits. They were making a windfall from what was supposed to be an emergency situation. So they were getting very, very rich. Well, we need a kind of windfall profits tax on things like Amazon and the big box stores that are getting very, very rich. And these windfall profits should go, but will they go to help people recover without becoming slaves to the state? See, all kinds of things are problematic here. As far as I will personally not take a dime from the state, nothing. I got nothing in there, $1,200 that they were giving to every household and all that stuff. I wouldn't take a penny from them. I don't want their food stamps. I don't want their welfare. I don't want their whatever. And yes, Dale, they have the aborted fetus cells, cancer cells, the cancer. I mean, it's really eye opening, and people need to see this. Even those that are for vaccinations or rabidly against anti-vaxxers, because that's what a lot of them are. They're not really for vaccinations. They're just rabidly against anti-vaxxers. Yeah, I guess that makes them pro-vaxxers. So. Watch that, share it with everyone you can, post it on whatever social media you have. Speaking of social media, I need some help here. So, and I need someone who does web pages, and because I'm thinking about moving over to a WordPress format for First Amendment Radio. If anyone knows how to do that, even if I have to pay for it, I would rather pay someone who is like-minded to help me out with that, to upgrade our website at First Amendment Radio. Also with Liberty Archives, which I also own, I would like to make it an alternate site, open it up to make money as an alternate site. And instead of doing videos, I guess I guess you could do videos, but more for audio. And instead of just these static audio players that they use or ones that just have a little meter type graphic on them, but let people have a slideshow instead of video. That way you don't need all the room, and people can put up their own slideshow or have a default slideshow for their video uploads for Liberty Archives and have their own channel or station or page on Liberty Archives and derive some income that way to help support First Amendment Radio. Yeah. So WordPress is said to be starting to censor users. Well, you can use WordPress on your own site. They can only censor users that are domiciled on, like my blog is domiciled, but I could move it to my own server. So I want to use a WordPress format on my own server, okay? That's what I want to do. So, because I would like, and I download like my web page occasionally so that in case they take me off, I can put it on my own server. So I have my own server. But if anyone out there, if you know anyone who's does web manage, not web management, but more web development and you know, computer and web programming and development, I need some help here. And like I said, you know, I can not get paid for a couple months if that's what it takes to pay someone else. After all, I'm retired, right? That's why I work 40 to 60 hours a week. And that's how you enjoy your retirement, by working. Now, I can't really afford to retire. I'm not collecting socialist security. Like I said, I don't accept socialism or welfare, no matter what terms they couch it in, okay? It goes against my personal beliefs, yeah. Let's see, one of these has come down from, okay, late 60s, they were sticking us with vaccines in grade school, yes. The MCR5 in it, okay, has aborted fetus cells, yeah, I've learned about that. So I don't want any aborted fetus cell vaccines in me. That's cannibalism, and I believe it's a violation of God's law, and I'm not going to voluntarily violate God's law in any way that I don't have to. Well, corporations are supposed to be the only ones paying taxes. That's true, yeah. There's not supposed to be an individual income tax, no direct taxes. And the direct tax was because of the Inquisitions of past. Because for a direct tax, an inquisition is required. And there was supposed to be no inquisition between the federal government and the individual in the states. The state was only required to pay state taxes. And the states were required to pay a head tax to the federal government for all of the individuals. But they traded in the head tax and decided that they would do individual inquisitions. And they had to do that, make that change over like 50 years from the implementation of Federal Reserve Act, or as I call it, the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. It took them to World War II and beyond. Because at World War II, they got people to volunteer to pay an income tax to support the war effort. Of course, that was, and then from then on, they prosecute you if you don't, you know, continue your agreement or your subjection to that yearly inquisition, okay? So that's how they've done it, de facto, but not by law. It's actually unconstitutional. And especially now, I mean, perhaps 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the government needed to get tax revenue somewhere. So they had tariffs and taxes on, what do they call it, on certain items, gas taxes and stuff like that. And so they tax certain items, and they tax the states a head tax for the states, for each individual, man, woman, child. It didn't matter. If you had a head, you got taxed, and by the state got taxed by the federal government, because that's what they agreed to when they entered in to the union. Okay, but no direct tax meant no individual income tax of any sort, no inquisition. But we have that, and it's not necessary today, because now the government's printing money out of thin air, so there's no gold and silver money. It's all fiat usury currency, so they can print as much as they want. So why do they need an inquisition on every poor person in the country, especially now? Well, they don't. They don't need it. That's why they're giving you money for not working now. They're stealthily getting the income, universal basic income. That's it, UBI. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, they don't need to tax the people, and they don't need to do an inquisition. It's all for control, just like the mask. You know, it's all about control. Will you comply? Resistance is futile, they would say, as going back to Star Trek and the Borg. They are the Borg. Yeah, that's what they are. The Antichrist is the Borg. Yeah, spiritually speaking, they are the Borg. And they say resistance is futile, and we say resistance is not futile. Whereas the Borg take you, and they don't kill you, they just turn you into one of them. Whereas the Antichrist and his shadow government of the past and his inquisitions would just burn you at the stake, chop off your head, or kill you by any other means possible if they could not get you to recant. And then sometimes if you recanted, they would kill you to save you from repenting of your recantation. Yeah, because they wanted to kill you so you could go to heaven when you die in your state of being in compliance to the Antichrist, yeah, and his salvation method. It's not funny. I mean, but sometimes we have to laugh just to keep from crying, really, because when you read history, it's like, wow, man, hundreds of millions of Bible-believing Christians and other liberal Catholics, even, and others who wouldn't go along, they got murdered. Yes, sometimes by the mob, sometimes by an individual inquisition, by whatever means the Antichrist could afford and get away with. Yes, I'm so glad that 1260 years is over, but look at what they're doing now. And look at, they have their image of the beast through which they vicariously are ruling or attempting to rule the whole earth. So we'll see how far they get before Christ comes. I'm hoping and praying they don't get as far as they'd like to, which is totalitarian control. But if you look at the way things are going with this whole panic, 2020 panic, and this scheme they're pulling off, it's just how gullible people are, how willing people are to go along with this great delusion. Because people just can't see the truth because they've been so programmed with lies that it almost seems hopeless. But, you know, for us that belong to Christ, we can't give up hope. Because we're going to die with hope. And we know our mortal flesh is going to pass away anyway, and that our hope is not on the side of the grave. So we can never lose hope, because our hope extends beyond the grave and goes into eternity. And all of the promises of God are ours. Yeah, they belong to us, the elect, those that have Jesus Christ, that truly have Jesus Christ as their King. Let's see. Yes, Jesuit Fine in chat room says, anyone omitting Jesuits as a key, in all important plots and conspiracies suffers foolish misunderstanding or intentionally deceives. Yes, or intentionally deceives themselves. Can you intentionally deceive yourself? Willfully ignorant. That's what the Bible says. Intentional self-deception, to be willfully ignorant. Yes, this is just tribulations. There will be, there is a remnant. And yeah, this, we are in great tribulation. This is the great tribulation preceding the return of Christ. And no, there's no rapture escape from it. The only rapture escape is the opioid crisis. Now, not buying into that one. I don't do drugs. I don't like it, drugs. They can keep their drugs. Okay. Though fanciful on my part, I wish all of 21st mankind understood the grand deception. I do wish they did too, but only a remnant will understand it. And again, the Jesuits wouldn't have infested this whole earth during the last five centuries in which all countries suffered from their machinations. Now only the Son of God can ameliorate this wickedness with his divine great reset. Well, yeah, there is a great reset coming. And Jesus, when Jesus shows up, that's going to be the real reset. This phony reset they're trying to pull off is not really a reset. It's just a reintroduction of, but it sounds cool to people that are deceived and that are under this strong delusion. You know, it's like they think, oh, reset, we need a reset, you know, because they bought into everything. They bought into Black Lives Matter. You like that one? Black Lives Matter? Yeah. Into the Black Lives Lie Matter. They bought into that. I think I'm talking too much. Where's my co-host? Where's my callers, the ones that talk? Where are you guys at? Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and now I'm going to switch gears and perhaps talk about prophecy, reality, and maybe some Bible questions and stuff, and it might get a little bit complicated, or I don't know, we'll see. And if you got any comments, questions, any callers, anyone want to discuss anything, all these people that comment on my videos throughout the week and want to argue or have other ideas about prophecy, then you need to call in the next hour. And you have something to say, we're going into a break like right now. That's what I thought. Okay, so we'll be back after the news and such, and we'll see where we go from here. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Don't go anywhere.
Choices I've been. need you now. I need you always.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Steve Hugh. A fighter jet from the Wisconsin National Guard crashed last night in Michigan. Lucas Tomlinson with more.
The Wisconsin National Guard says an F-16 fighter jet crashed last night in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The pilot is still missing. In a statement, the Guard said the jet was on a routine training flight at the time of the crash. Search and rescue efforts continued throughout the night and again today. It's not clear what caused the jet to go down. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, a pilot in the Air National Guard, said on Twitter the jet is from his unit, the 115th Fighter Wing. At the Pentagon, Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News.
A New York State Supreme Court judge is ordering election officials to conduct a partial recount in the undecided House race between Democratic Congressman Anthony Brindisi and GOP candidate Claudia Tenney. Speaking on Fox and Friends, Tenney discussed the ongoing process to declare a winner.
We're going to be counting for a few more weeks or maybe another week or so. We don't know. What's out there right now are what are called disputed affidavit ballots. Those are ballots of people who show up at the polls and for one reason or another, the boards of election do not have them as registered voters. We feel that those voters were tended to be more Republicans, sort of Trump-Tenney voters.
As the crime rate continues to surge in Minneapolis, there could be a drastic reduction in police staffing.
The city council in Minneapolis is prepared to pass, at tonight's meeting, a measure to shrink the police department's budget by almost $8 million. That would reduce the city's police force by 138 officers. Mayor Jacob Frey calls that irresponsible and threatens a veto. But he has no line item veto and would have to reject the entire city budget, impacting virtually all city services, which lawmakers believe he will not do. The money redirected from the police department would go to mental health teams and violence prevention programs. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
The battle over in-person learning is getting more intense as people across the country are fed up with unnecessary school closings.
The Chicago Teachers Union could go on strike over the city's plans to reopen schools. This week, the union once again filed an injunction to block Chicago Public Schools' plans to gradually bring students back into the classroom in February, starting with pre-K and then K through 8th grade. The school district argues too many children are falling behind with remote learning and that public health data suggests in-person learning can be done safely when protocols are followed. Across the country, there's growing evidence that many students are struggling academically with remote learning, including in Salt Lake City, Utah, where more than 100 students gathered for a rally Monday, urging the school board to let them back into the classroom. Molly Thompson is a junior at East High School.
It says, all I want for Christmas is to be in class. Online school doesn't work.
Just last week, the head of the CDC reiterated that in-person learning can be done safely.
There are serious questions about Joe Biden's pick for Secretary of Health and Human Services. One that relates to his days in California. More from Charlie Butts.
AFN has reported how rabid Javier Becerra, the California Attorney General, is on abortion and how he tried to attack pro-life pregnancy centers in the state. So his wide-open support for abortion is expected if he is confirmed to the HHS position by the U.S. Senate. A second concern is his attitude towards religion. That was revealed in questioning in his confirmation hearing 3 years ago to State Attorney General. He was asked about his view of First Amendment protections of freedom of religion.
On religious protections, the protection for religion is for the individual. And so I think it's important to distinguish between protections that you're affording to the individual to exercise his or her religion freely versus protections you're giving to some institution or entity who's essentially bootstrapping the First Amendment protections on behalf of somebody else.
In other words, protections would be limited for religious institutions and ministries. That helps to understand why he supported a lawsuit against nuns, the Little Sisters of the Poor, who have been subjected to attempts to force the Catholic group to provide abortion and abortion-causing drugs in their insurance for employees. I'm Charlie Butts.
U.S. stocks are edging higher in morning trading today. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com and download the One News Now mobile app for your Apple or Android device. I'm Rusty Peete.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Wow, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition on a Wednesday morning. And I'm Nicholas Arthur. In this segment, I believe we're going to jump into prophecy. And I've got some challenges, or a challenge. And I felt when I first viewed it, I felt it was a significant challenge. And at least it appears to be a significant challenge, and many people might consider that such after viewing it. And I'll put a link to this on the page when I post this, because I don't want people all going off and watching it now, but instead of paying attention to the broadcast. But this guy says, were the pyramids built before the flood? And Masoretic text versus original Hebrew is his challenge. And basically what this boils down to is, oops, that's not it. Let's see. Is there's a challenge to the Masoretic. Okay, sorry about that there. Let me turn that off so those things don't pop up. But it goes like this, basically. Here's the challenge. It's kind of off the topic of why the video was posted. And the guy takes a lot of liberty to make his point. But I think the liberty is ill-conceived ill-gotten anyway. But basically it's this. Okay, the Septuagint adds 100 years to four of the people's lives in the genealogy after the flood. Okay, and then there are three texts from the era, beginning with the Septuagint, and then there's the Samaritan text. Okay, and then there's Josephus, who uses the same enumeration that was found in the Septuagint. And the Septuagint is supposed to be the first of these three texts. And this guy says, well, these three are a witness of something that we don't have. And that is that they are a witness of a prior Hebrew text, which was uncorrupted, okay, and didn't have those extra 100 years in it. Although there's no copy of this original Hebrew text, and there's no subsequent texts to verify that there ever was a copy in the Hebrew that included these extra 400 years on four different patriarchs or persons in the genealogy after the flood. Okay, so adding those 400 years would add 400 years to our calendar, and we wouldn't be coming up on the seventh millennium in 2055, approximately. We would be past it by 350 years, give or take. More than 300 years, we would already be past the introduction of the seventh millennium. Okay? And so this guy does a really good job in this video of convincing you of his that he's correct in his assumption, because the Egyptologists say there's a problem with the dating of the events of Egypt and the Bible, that they conflict. Well, I would say that the Bible dates are correct and the Egyptologists are wrong. I mean, because what are they basing theirs upon? Okay? That's the problem. So this guy says, well, then to agree with the Egyptologist dates, he uses adding these 400 years in to place the building of the pyramids after the flood, which is where they belong, instead of before the flood. So he's saying the problem isn't with the Egyptologists and their dating, but it's with our Bible. Okay? So it's very problematic. And, you know, I tell him, you assume that your three witnesses verify a non-existent prior Hebrew text. One could just as well assume that two of your witnesses received their information from the earliest of the three. And that's by my examination of the evidence, the empirical evidence that we have, that's exactly what happened. Because the Greek Septuagint would have been in use in the Gentile world, where Josephus was, for one, because Josephus was basically employed by the Romans, and he would have been using the Greek text. But we can find no Hebrew text, okay? And if his thesis is correct, okay, if his thesis is correct, then we would have some conflicting Hebrew text somewhere, because you had scribes that were making copies of the Hebrew text continually. They were always making copies because copies were sold. There was money in making copies. They were very expensive. So we would somewhere have some existing Hebrew copies, some conflicting Hebrew copies that would have included the extra 400 years if the 400 years was in some ancient text from which the Septuagint was taken in about the 3rd century B.C. Okay? That's when it was laid down. But there are no existing Hebrew copies that include those extra 400 years. But that's his thesis. And like I said, he's done a very convincing video. When I watched it the first time, I'm going, wow, that really presents a challenge to the timeline. And I have to find out that if this is true or not. Because if it's true, either we have to throw out our thesis of the 7 millennia, or we have to all become amillennialists. But that doesn't work either. Amillennialism has other problems that are too high of a hurdle for me to get over, scripturally speaking. And I outline all those in my most recent book. Now I got a fly flying around in here bothering me, and I'm going to swat it. I'm talking too much. See, I need a caller to call in. But anyway, so he says, he answers me back. He says, how do you suppose that's possible? Was the Septuagint translated from the Samaritan? Well, obviously not. The Septuagint supposedly came first. You know, so he's just kind of throwing me, he's deflecting. And that's all he does with every challenge I put up. And you can go to the video yourself, and you can, and if you go, because it says sort comments. So if you sort comments by, not top comments, top comments, that's the ones that get the most check marks, I guess. But because they'll put your top comments first. So when you go to YouTube, might want to figure that one out. The top comments are the ones that most people have liked, I guess, or gave a thumbs up to. I guess that's how that worked. But go to newest first, and you can scroll down. You'll see my comments there, because this was put up in 2017, and one of my listeners brought it to my attention, and I checked it out, and it shook me at first when the first go through, because I just allowed myself to go with his narrative. But then I had to re-listen to it, and then I had to start challenging it. And so he deflects here. He says, was the Septuagint? So he asked me a question that all it does is deflect. No, of course not. The Septuagint is supposed to be older than the Samaritan. So the Samaritan, and we know Josephus was later than both the Samaritan and the Septuagint, because Josephus wrote in the first century, at the end of the first century, and into the 2nd century, I believe. You know, at least that's the era where I get him, toward the end of the 1st century, at least. So definitely after the Samaritan and after the Septuagint. So I would say they got their information from the Septuagint, and perhaps even a lot of the Gentile Christians and believers in the, of apostolic Christianity in the first century were probably using the Septuagint also. Okay? But there are a lot of errors with the Septuagint, and you can look into that yourself and Google errors of the Septuagint, and you'll find out, wow, there are problems with the Septuagint. And there are obvious problems with it. And among those are the extra 400 years. Okay? So I tell them, you know, your theory is plausible. It's a plausible theory. It sounds plausible. But it is still just as plausible that the later two of your three reference texts picked up an error from the earliest of the three. Okay? And his motive, okay, and he came up with a motive. Okay? And I'll tell you about the motive. It's like this. Around the 4th or 5th century, the Jewish fathers, the fathers of Judaism, came up with a theory, and they did this to overthrow the notion of Jesus being the Messiah of the 490 years or Daniel's 70 weeks. They put it in their calendar. They changed their calendar. They did not change the Word of God. They just changed their calendar. And you can still go to the Word of God and you can find out, hey, that isn't right. Because they said the 490 years, Daniel's 70 weeks, the 490 years runs from the desolation, the Babylonian desolation, to the Roman desolation. But if you read the texts, if you read the entire prophecy, you realize, well, that's not right. Because it doesn't go from desolation to desolation. It says from the going forth of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That wasn't the Babylonian desolation. That came 70 plus 58 years later, 128 years later, was the decree. So there's 120 years they throw out of their calendar just to deny Jesus as the Messiah. Okay? And then there's another 30-some years between the actual end of the unto Messiah the Prince, add 7 years, you got the end of the 70 weeks. Okay? And that would have been when the gospel went to the Gentiles, 3.5 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And so from there to the desolation, you've got another 37.5 years, approximately. So you got 128 plus another 37, about 160 years they omitted from the calendar. And that's why you have a different date on the Hebrew calendar than we get from the Bible. And if you have my study, What Year Is It?, you'll see I cover that there. So you can go to my website and you'll see it at the top of the website, I believe. If you go to the homepage on the website, you know, click on crosstheborder.org in the upper left-hand column, upper left-hand corner of the website if you're not there, and that's the home button. And it'll take you to the home, and you'll see the What Year Is It posting there. And you'll see the biblical chronology, and I go through that. And that's why when I watch this this presentation that one of my listeners sent me, and I thought, wow, that's problematic either for me or for them. And so I went through it, and I go, you know what? By the end of it, I have to stick with the Masoretic text. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be rewriting my What Year Is It page. And I would do that if there was something to it. And, you know, there is something to it, but I'm telling you what the something is. So he says, I tell him, your theory is plausible. Your motive is also only a theory. So, because now he has this theory of a motive that caused them to change the text in the first century between the death and resurrection of Christ and the existing whole text of the Masoretic text that we have from which we get our King James Bible. Okay, he's saying that the scribes and Pharisees and the Judaizers, or those that were against Christ, they changed all the Bibles. They changed all of the Hebrew texts in existence at that time. That's highly unlikely and improbable that they could do it if they wanted to. Okay? Because it's only a theory. He has no, there's no evidence in history that this happened. But he goes on the evidence that today and since that time, they've come up with another theory, like the Daniel's 70 weeks theory that goes from desolation to desolation. Well, there's another theory that they've come up, that Melchizedek was actually Shem? Yeah, was actually Shem or something like that. And so he wasn't, and so that, oh, that Jesus wasn't related, couldn't have been, that he would have been related to the Levitical priesthood and not the Melchizedekian priesthood or something. They have some theory where they try to overthrow. And it's so shallow and transparent that, you know, no Christian is going to believe it. Only people who want to believe it are going to believe it. Kind of like people who wear masks and think that they should get the vaccine as soon as possible. You know, they want to believe that. They've been brainwashed into it. So he's taking something that's in use, one of these theories that the Jews have come up, and he's saying that they actually, in the first century, he's theorizing that there was a conspiracy in the remainder of the first century. The Jews who were dispersed to all the nations after 70 AD. So they must have done all this work before 70 AD, because they certainly couldn't do it after 70 AD. At least not, it took them several hundred years to change their calendar after the first century. So it's highly unlikely, his theory of their motive is highly unlikely, and there is absolutely no evidence for it. So I tell him, without some empirical evidence or explicit statement from the alleged perpetrators or others of that day, all you have is a very nice theory. I understand his motivation, but to change our Bibles to accommodate it, I am certain unintended consequences will arise. We cannot change the word based on a nice theory. As much as I may like his theory, I will have to stick with the received text until we have some undeniable evidence. Like if he could come up with, there should be numerous conflicting Hebrew texts. And he goes to the, and he brings up, there are some, Dead Sea Scroll fragments that agree. Not that there's an extra 400 years in the genealogies, but that agree with some other things that the Septuagint had. I think it was only one. He only had really one example that the Dead Sea Scrolls had two extra words that were omitted from the Masoretic Hebrew text. He says, so therefore that's evidence. No, well, that's only evidence that two words were omitted. And really, those several words that were omitted are very inconsequential. As a matter of fact, they don't change anything, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, and he has a whole bunch of this type of evidence. But he said, I tell him I have to stick with the received text until we have more undeniable evidence. To merely reconcile errors in Egyptology timeline is not worth the risk of wrongly overturning God's word, even unintentionally. And then he pulls up, he says, Eusebius defended the timeline presented in this video. He said, speaking of Eusebius, I guess, he said that the Septuagint is what everyone in the church used in his day. Augustine backed him up on that statement 300 years later, I guess. Of course, he imputes a lot to Eusebius and Augustine because he says, defended the timeline I presented. Well, Eusebius never saw his video. See, he takes a little license with his statements there. Eusebius didn't defend the timeline he presented in this video. He only used the same information that was found in the Septuagint, which Eusebius was probably using the Septuagint, okay? So I tell him, I'm certain that he did. Greek was the international language of the day, so that's not evidence. However, if your theory were correct, it is unlikely that the alleged conspirators could have changed every Hebrew copy of your alleged original text in existence. So where are the conflicting Hebrew texts? If we had these conflicting Hebrew texts from the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, even the 1st century, 2nd century BC, if we had anything, then we would have some evidence that something fishy is going on here. Now, I don't believe that, I think the evidence supports the idea that the scribes were unwilling to change the text, but at the same time were willing to change their interpretation of the text, because that's what they did when they said, well, the Daniel 70 weeks go from desolation to desolation. Okay? They changed their interpretation of the text. Or they impressed an interpretation on the text that they wanted, but they were still unwilling to change the text itself. Okay? And I think the scribes, I think they would be afraid to change the Word of God. And so I'm going to have to stick with it, no matter all of the arguments that this guy's throwing, including shaming you for not believing, because he has some devices in there that will shame you. So it's a very clever video, the way he uses some of his devices. He comes back at me deflecting again. He deflects everything without answering. He says, Eusebius wasn't speaking Greek. I didn't say he was speaking Greek. I said Greek was the international language of the day, and it was. He said he was speaking Latin. Of course, he was a Roman, okay? They had Latin translations of the Greek Septuagint because they didn't trust the Hebrew. Well, that's an assumption on his part. He's imputing something he believes, another theory to it, because Eusebius didn't write, well, I don't trust the Greek. No, he was using the Latin and the Greek because that was what it was available to him. Okay? And he probably didn't speak Hebrew. Maybe he did for whatever reason. He said, Eusebius specifically said that the Hebrew was corrupt. Okay, well, that may be true, but he never, and in all of these statements like this, he does say this, and Eusebius may have said that. I don't know. But he never gives me a reference, so I don't even know where to go find that. He does no reference work on any of this that he does. Okay? And we'll continue this conversation in the chat when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And I'm going to check the chat room to see if there's any comments, questions on this matter. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
We're in a battle weary nation, full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost the desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long, with their weakened hearts on a holy cause.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give.
If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of firstamendmentradio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're discussing the timeline in the scripture, the genealogy, and a new error. And I did a little research on this error and going through the guy who posted this video, his some of his other stuff that he's doing there. And there was a book, it was called Rebooting the Bible. That goes back and it comes up with a lot of these theories to overthrow the text. And it looks like most people in the chat room here are in agreement with me. Those who want to write, okay, no, that's going to Septuagint has the apocryphal doubtful books added in. He says that's a red flag for me. Dale says, show me the gap. I've heard that somewhere before. The Greek Septuagint never existed. More lies. Yeah, and you know our friend over at Chick Tracks. What's his name? David. What's the guy's name over there? Anyway, go to Chick Tracks, and he's got where he posts stuff, and he's wrote a book on the Septuagint and other things. So there's a lot of doubtfulness about really the Septuagint being 3rd century BC. Antiquity says here it never existed. More lies. And so that's all very doubtful, too. So when you start digging into these things, you find out there's a lot of problems. Jesuit Fiend in the chat room says, keep your faith in God's preserved word, i.e. the King James Bible, And that's the safest way to go. Like I said, it's the best Bible translation we have out there for English-speaking people is the Authorized King James Version. He had no father, mother. Wonder who it could be. Yes, speaking of the lineage of Melchizedek, yeah, I wonder who it could be. Those who want to write new state and federal laws, okay, WW, that's kind of thrown in there somehow, or are ashamed of breaking God's law. Well, those are those that worship the state, because the state gives them laws they can keep, and they like that. Oh, you want to marry your brother or something? You want to marry a guy? Wants to marry a guy? The state says, "Hey, that's okay." You want to whatever, you know, whatever licentiousness the state is offering out there, they'll give you license to do in violation of God's law. Those people definitely worship the state and the beast. Yes, they worship the beast. Let's see. Septuagint, 70 people put in separate rooms, and God supposedly gave these people the manuscript of Scripture. I never heard that one before. I knew the 70 had to do with 70 people, but I didn't know they were put in separate rooms. And so I wouldn't go with that. That would be, I wouldn't believe this for a minute. Now we're getting a Tolkien was selected to help write the Jerusalem Bible. He said, nah. I think you better stick to fiction. He was pretty good at it. Yeah. And let's see. Will everyone in the chat room please put on their masks? Someone just pulled my COVID. Yeah, sorry, I coughed. Yeah, I didn't have my mask on. I don't have a mask, so not even one here in my studio. I got a napkin up here, left over from something that I had in here 10 years ago. But okay, yeah, studying J.R.R. Tolkien is way easier than listening to Tom Fress about the evils of Catholicism. Studying J.R.R. Tolkien? I think I'd rather listen to Tom Fress anyway. Yeah, okay. Well, we all know how you guys feel about Mass. And Mercury Falling says, Tom Fress stuff is addictive for me. Yeah. There you go. Okay, so we're going to get back into it, I guess, since no one else has any comments or questions. And we have a few minutes left here. We'll get back into it here. So we were talking about Eusebius. I wasn't speaking Greek. And then I tell him, I'm still waiting for that conflicting Hebrew text. Okay? What do you mean, waiting for that Hebrew text? Well, I already told him. He just deflects and doesn't pay attention. I said, if your theory, so I spell it out clearly, if your theory were correct, it is unlikely that your alleged conspirators could have changed every subsequent Hebrew copy of your alleged original text. So where are the conflicting Hebrew texts that uphold your theory? That would be evidence. And if you had it, then I would believe it. If your theory was true, I believe your evidence would be so overwhelming that it would be undeniable. And he says, here again, he deflects, they found Hebrew copies among the Dead Sea Scrolls that side with the Septuagint. I already explained that to you. But they do not have these Hebrew copies that he's referring to, don't have the extra 400 years in the genealogies. They just agree on a couple words with the Septuagint that were omitted from the Masoretic. Okay? So that's not enough evidence for me to overthrow. However, none of them include the extra years in the genealogies, but I'm sure you already knew that. See, he never states that for the people that he's trying to sell his idea on. If I was doing a video like this and trying to convince you that my timeline was right and whatever, I would let you know. But see, he never tells the people that will listen to his video and take it at surface value, okay, at face value, and accept it. He'll never tell them However, none of them include the extra years in the genealogies. He'd never tell them these truths that would easily overthrow his thesis, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, this guy isn't a Bible teacher, but here he is teaching on the Bible. And this video, unfortunately, has 1,200,000 views, more than any of my videos, and 14,000 comments. And most of these people are Christians, and they're just praising this thing. And there's very little critical comment on it. So, and most people who feel in their spirit, they have the spirit of truth, and they're going, there's something wrong with this. You know how it is when something is just wrong, and the spirit is telling you it's just wrong. There's something wrong with it. And that's what a lot of people express, because they don't want to do what I'm doing. See, this is my job, okay? This is my job to do this and overthrow it. And he hasn't erased my comments yet, so I expect that may happen sooner or later. But hopefully he doesn't erase the comments. I said, if you're going to teach on God's word, I think you should raise your standard for truth and honesty. You take far too much liberty, and you are very good at presenting it. It's not really a compliment, but he says, huh? The timeline I presented was defended by numerous early church fathers. Well, he's imputing they never saw his timeline. They never watched his video. None of the early church fathers defended the timeline just because they used it, because they were using the same manuscripts, which were either came directly from the Septuagint or were derivative works, such as Josephus, which is one of the early fathers he's probably referring to. So that's still not proof. And they did not defend, as he says, the timeline that he presented, okay? So he's not really exact in his words. He could have reworded that. Some of them use the same timeline that I'm presenting, see? But the way he's saying it is he's saying that they presented the timeline that he presented. And that's definitely not true. So I say he needs to raise his standard. So I answer him, who probably derived their information from the Greek Septuagint or derivative works. However, none of the Hebrew texts dating before the second century include the extra years in the genealogies. But I'm sure you already knew that. If your thesis were correct, we would have many conflicting examples in the Hebrew texts of the era. And then, if that were true, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, because that would have already been decided by early church councils, okay, that took on these questions. Yeah, if they existed, they would have found them, and they would have discussed them, but they don't exist. So it's all theory. He says, the early church fathers believed that the Jews had corrupted the Hebrew texts and that the Greek Septuagint reflected an older, accurate Hebrew text. I think that's worth considering. Well, he reads a lot into what the early church fathers believed. He doesn't really know. So, and some of them did express that there were corrupted texts out there, and there were a lot of corrupted texts being produced out there. And I believe mainly those were works of the pseudepigrapha. Yeah, the pseudepigrapha texts that they were probably commenting on more than anything else. And because they were accepting the Hebrew texts, the entire Old Testament that we have today, that we have from the Masoretic, all of the early church fathers seemed, from their writings, to have been using the same texts that we have today. That's real evidence. That's empirical. I tell him non sequitur fallacy, because he does, there's a lot of that in his videos, does not in any way verify theory based upon circumstantial evidence, and this production is full of it, and pun intended. But as I said, it's a masterful job, very compelling, but still only theory. Okay, and he talked about, and so he tries to defend it in other ways. And those people lived a long time, and the timeline doesn't make sense if you omit, as the Masoretic text does, the extra 400 years. Okay, we all understand that longevity precipitously dropped off after the flood. I tell him, I've lost mother, father, sister, wife, and child. He uses non sequitur fallacy. It's very clever, his use of it in the video, trying to get you to emotionally invest. So he uses all these devices to get you to emotionally invest or to shame you into, if you don't agree with him, you know, he imputes shame, and he wants you to impute that shame to yourself. So he has devices in his video that do that. And that's why when you first watch the video at face and take it at face value, you're going to believe it, because there's all of these devices in there to manipulate you into believing his video. So, and you can check it out yourself. Here, I'll put this in the chat room. Let's see. Watch video. You got a lot of stuff here. Oh, I see. Let me get the link from the video up here at the share point. Okay. Copy. And I'll give that to you if you want to check it out for yourself. With the information I've given you, you probably will not be sucked in. At least I hope not. Let me put this in the chat room anyway for you. Just like today, there is no flu. Tom Fress is surely addictive. Oh, David Daniels. That's right. Thank you for that, Mercury Fall. Look up David Daniels' YouTube channel, and he has a lot of videos on the Septuagint and other very interesting research that he's done. And you believe me, this guy crosses all his T's and he dots all his I's, and there's no manipulation or funny business going on. Nobody says the word shame on the internet anymore. Okay. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, so there it is. And like I said, if you go to the, if you go to that video and where it says sort by, and you sort by newest first, you'll find my comments there. If you scroll down, they should, because they're pretty recent within the last few days, some of them. But if you scroll down, it's been in the last week that I've been commenting, and you'll see what he says to answer my comments and so forth. So you see our little debate there about his video. And so he really ends the debate with just saying, that's what he says. He says, ends the debate with this. The early church fathers believed that the Jews, and I just left it at that. I mean, what else can I say, you know, to this guy? I have already said it all. And I've even repeated myself on several occasions. So check it out for yourself. And these links, this and other links, will be below this video, wherever you're watching it, or on my website that I put in the chat room. Okay, and I think I'm going to, let me paste this link in here right now while I'm thinking about it, so I will have it later. Yeah, there it is. Okay, so, yeah. If you refresh my live this morning link, all of the links will be there. My live this morning post, all of the links will be there now, at this very moment. Okay, what else do we have? We have a few minutes left. No comments or questions in the chat room. Yeah, sort newest first. Thank you for that. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while, I don't think, unless I'm just not paying attention there, Fireman Mike, from Michigan or Ohio, one of those places. Yeah. So, anyway, good to see you. If you're listening to this broadcast, Prophecy Reality News with me, I'm here every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and we have this discussion and news and other items the first hour. Second hour, we usually jump into prophecy issues, questions, comments, whatever I have for you, and whatever you bring to the table if you join us in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Click on the chat button there, and you can join us live when we're on air, Ohio. See, close. I'm a Michigander, a native Michigander myself, so from the same general area there, Fireman Mike, but thank you for that. Make sure you go to my website, that's crossborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com and or nicholasarthur.info or .net. I have nicholasarthur.info.net and .com, I think, or something. So all of those will get you, at least get you a link to where you're going. And make sure you subscribe to my blog. And that way, when I do a live show, I usually, in the hour before the broadcast, usually I try to make it at least 30 minutes before the broadcast, I do a post, which you'll get in your email box and get you over there. Or subscribe to my YouTube page and you'll get an email from them when I post the time that I'm going to be on. Usually I do that about 7 a.m. in the morning, 2 hours before the broadcast. The YouTube, I set the time sometimes I do it days before. And that way you'll get a notification. Don't know how long I'll be on YouTube. It may be until the Lord comes or it may be till next week. They could kick me off any time. There's always that possibility since they are continually deleting videos, even have hate speech strike on firstamendmentradio.com. I don't have a hate speech strike on Prophecy Reality yet, but that could change at any time. Someone just has to be offended or something, I guess, and complain about it. And they can give me a hate speech strike and wipe me off because I hate the Antichrist and I hate lying and I hate sin and I hate the evil that sinners do, you know, and I hate evil. So I hate a lot, yeah. But I love you and I pray for everyone out there, even my enemies, that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth and the saving faith, and receive the grace that only comes from Jesus Christ. Yeah, and be saved. Yeah, that's what I hope for everyone. I know it's unlikely that many people will. Yeah, that most people will reject the truth. That's what likely will happen and is happening. And Jesus warned us about that. Read Matthew chapter 7, and you'll see many references there, or several references there, to the few and the many. And you want to make sure that you are one of the few that are on the narrow way that leads to life. There's nothing more important than that. So you sent me a text pic. Where did you send that at? I don't know. Fireman Mike in the chat room says he sent me a text picture. I don't. And you know what? If you sent it to my cell phone, which you'd have to have the number for, my cell phone isn't working right. My stupid phone isn't opening pictures anymore. It says unidentified file. So that's weird. But anyway, and not many people send me text pictures on my phone, so I don't know where I'm to look for that, Fireman Mike. So you might want to email that to First Amendment Radio. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. That's not a cell phone. The 559-797-8537. Yeah, there's no picture service on that. So if you sent it, it went into nowhere space, the black hole. So you'd have to email that to me if that's important. Or you can post it on my website on the contact page there or something, I think. Yeah, in the comments you can text. You can post pictures in the comment page or in the contact page on my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. So go there and subscribe. And what the most important takeaway of everything is that, you have an invitation from the King of Kings to inquire into life eternal. He holds out the offer of eternal life to you because he came to solve our problem. And that is that the wages of sin is death, and that there is no other way to eternal life but through him, because he paid the price. And only if your sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb will you enter into life eternal. Nothing more important to that. Yes, nothing. Okay, well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. May you be one of the few that find it. We'll see you next time.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media Channel. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary, on a continual basis. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs on our Listen and Schedule pages. Then when you subscribe, we will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We ask you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also...